The dwarves sat in darkness, and utter silence fell about them. Little they ate, and little they spoke. They could not count the passing of time, but after what seemed days of waiting, Thorin spoke.
Let's try the door. I must feel the wind on my face soon or die.
I think I'd rather be smashed by Smog in the open than suffocate in here.
Oh, crap. It's the end.
We'll die here.
Come, while there's life, there's hope, as my father used to say. I'm going down the tunnel again. It's the only way out, and I think this time you'd better all come with me.
But the dragon...
We'll all be eaten.
Roasted.
We haven't heard him below. There may be no Smog at the bottom, but then again, there may be. We'll just have to see for ourselves.
We have no choice. Lead the way, Mr. Baggins.
Now be as quiet as you can. If Smog is there, we don't want to announce our coming in a herd.
Down, down they went. The dwarves made a deal of puffing and shuffling which echoed alarmingly, but not a sound stirred below. Near the bottom, Bilbo slipped on his ring and went ahead alone. But he did not need it. The darkness was complete, and they were all invisible, ring or no ring. In fact, so black was it that the hobbit came to the opening unexpectedly, put his hand on air, stumbled forward, and rolled headlong into the hall. But nothing moved. There was not a spark of dragon fire.
Confound you, Smog, you worm! Stop playing hide and seek! Give me a light, and then eat me if you can catch me! Now I wonder what on earth Smog is playing at. He's not at home today, or tonight, or whatever it is. If Owen and Glowen haven't lost their tinder boxes, maybe we can make a little light and have a look round before the luck turns. Light! Can anybody make a light? Light! 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 There's nobody here! Light!
What is Mr. Baggins shouting about? He'll have the dragon back if he's not there now. Glow, make a torch for Mr. Baggins.
Smog isn't home, so we'll have a look about the place. Here, give me a light.
You go ahead, Mr. Baggins. You're our official burglar and investigator. We'll wait here in the tunnel for your report.
The dwarves sat near the door and watched as Bilbo moved across the floor, holding his tiny light aloft. Every now and again, while he was still near enough, they caught a glint and a tinkle as he stumbled on some golden thing. The light grew smaller as he wandered away into the vast hall. Then it began to rise, dancing into the air. Bilbo was climbing the great mound of treasure.
Ah, what's this? The Arkenstone. The heart of the mountain, just as Thorin described it. I'll just tuck it away in my pocket. Now I'm a burglar indeed. But I suppose I must tell the dwarves about it. Sometime. Now I'll climb down and take a look in the great passage on the other side.
I can't see his light.
He's gone over the top of the treasure mound.
But where is Smog?
What on earth or under it has happened? Well, certainly not the dragon, or he wouldn't go on squeaking.
He's lost his light.
Come, one of you, get another light. It seems we've got to go and help our burglar.
It's about our turn to help him, and I'm quite willing to go.
Let's all go. I expect it's safe for the moment. Come on.
All right.
Well, Mr. Baggins?
Only a bat and a dropped torch. Nothing worse.
Oh, look at the treasure.
Golden hearts are still in tune.
And look at these coats of mail.
Look at these golden bowls. Oh, I only wish they had something to eat in them.
What jewels! Look at this. Oh!
Mr. Baggins, here is the first payment of your reward. Now cast off your old coat and put on this.
It's a small coat of mail.
Wrought for some young elf prince long ago, I'll bet. It's made of silver steel, which the elves call mithril.
And a belt of pearls and crystals.
And a helmet of figured leather studded with white gems. Here, try this on, Mr. Vag.
I feel magnificent. But I expect I look rather absurd.
Not at all, Mr. Baggins. You look, in fact, very grand.
Well, we are armed, but what good has any armor ever been before against Smaug the Dreadful? We have tempted luck too long. We'd better finish our escape.
You speak the truth. Let us go. I will guide you. Not in 1,000 years should I forget the ways of this palace.
Holding their torches above their heads, they passed through the gaping doors, not without many a backward glance of longing at the mighty treasure hoard. They passed through the great chamber of Thror, with rotting tables and chairs and benches lying overturned. Skulls and bones were upon the floor, among flagons and bowls, and broken drinking horns and dust. They passed the dark opening in a wall of rock where a spring of water gushed forth to give birth to the running river. Then a light shone ahead, and round a wide sweeping turn they stood in the broad light of day.
Well, I never expected to be looking out of this door, and I never expected to be so pleased to see the sun again and to feel the wind on my face.
It must be well past breakfast time.
Smaug's front doorstep isn't the safest place for a meal, but let's go somewhere and sit quiet for a bit.
I think I know which way we should go. We ought to make for the old lookout post at the southwest corner of the mountain.
How far is that?
5 hours' march, I should think. It'll be rough going, even if the old steps are still there.
More walking and more climbing without breakfast. I wonder how many breakfasts and other meals we've missed inside that nasty, clockless, timeless hole.
Ah, come, come. Don't call my palace a nasty hole. You wait till it's been cleaned and redecorated.
That won't be till Smaug's dead. In the meantime, where is he? I hope he's not up on the mountain looking down at us.
We must move away from here. I feel as if his eyes were on the back of my head.
It's a cold, lonesome place. There may be drink, but I see no sign of food. A dragon would always be hungry in such parts.
Come on, come on. Let's follow Balin's path.